Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you standing there. Welcome to episode number 197 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast, your source for craft beer, running, and homebrewing chat. My name is Lee.
I am Keith.
I am Raymond.
Join us on March 3rd at 6 p.m. at Service Brewing Company in Savannah for BDR 200. We'll be recording our 200th episode and sampling our collaboration beer with Service. Come on down. Check our Facebook page to RSVP. This is a 21 and over event. If you like the show, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast and write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find the show. Where do you get this if it's on iTunes and Stitcher? I really want to know. Let me know so I can add it to the script. Or you can tell a friend, post about the show on Facebook or Twitter. Be sure to tag us at Brew Drink Run. This week, we talk about running. We talk about brewing. But you know we're going to talk about the beers. We start off the episode with one. Keith, what is it?
Oh no, having a heart attack.
We're going to be featuring Monday Night Brewing on this episode, since they were nice enough to drop a box on my doorstep. Mm-hmm. So had a couple of beers in it and some other goodies. So we're going to start with the IPA in the group. This is the Archipelago, am I saying
Archipelago.
That? Archipelago.
Man, look at Raymond. You see how he just jumped out of the shadows to correct somebody?
I don't get to talk on the show very often. Oh, I got to take advantage of it.
All right, you guys, Raymond is now hosting the show.
You can take over this part if you want. That's fine. So anyways, it says it's an unfiltered IPA. So and then under that, it says India Pale Ale, in case you were confused. So 7% alcohol by volume, and they did send some sheets with this. So this is featuring... let's see, South Pacific hops. So we got Enigma, Matuika, Galaxy, and Mosaic.
One of those is not a real hop.
One of those is not. Well, if you can say it, let us know. And looks like it also has lactose in it. So it looks like they're messing around with that sort of milkshakey thing a little bit, although it doesn't say it's a milkshake. And I mean, unfiltered, you know, people have been brewing unfiltered IPAs for, I mean, hours at Services. It's not hazy, but, you know, we don't filter the beer. So look, there's a lot of terminology being thrown around at this point with what's what. I'm not sure if this is a New England, a hazy and unfiltered, all of the above, maybe one or two, who knows. Let's just drink it and see if it's good.
But before we do that, I need an in-depth rundown of what that can looks like.
All right. So the can, I like this can. You know, Monday Night has that tie thing going, right?
They recently redid their branding across the board.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we will have one in the second half of the show where maybe it's the more traditional, like where most mm-hmm. of the beers have the long ties that mm-hmm. are in a pattern around. But the one that you have here is different.
No, this one is a bow tie and even has kind of the buttons that you would
imply. Like a tuck studs, right?
Yeah, exactly. But the tie is very floral, has that South Pacific look to it, Hawaiian shirt kind of thing going on with it. So that makes sense with the name and with what they were talking about, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these new cans, they're wraps, right? So it's...
I was looking at it. It's a printed can with a sticker. So at the very top, it says Atlanta, Georgia, followed by... The Monday Night, and this is kind of where the can goes inward on your can, so if you can imagine just that part. So then they have the original Monday Night logo, or their logo, which is the tied, suited fellow sort of raising his fist in the air, this kind of shadowy picture. And then it just does that around a couple of times, but then it's that sticker that goes around it, and it is just, and Raymond's ripping off the thing, and it is just a blank can underneath. So,
yeah.
So it's interesting that it's sort of a branded can that they can do anything with, so they don't need to worry about putting that logo on. I'm gonna be honest. I kind of miss the old logo a little bit. Although these are clever, and the more I look at them, the more I realize how well done they are. Like each tie that's featured, it has tie artwork that's relevant to the beer, and it's actually very, very well done. But I do miss the ever-changing Monday night shadowy figure that had some reflection, you know, like the blind pirate had the eye patch, etc. The drafty kilt had the, you know, the hat on, the Scottish kind of hat and kilt sort of idea. Anyways, but these are really, it's a really good redesign, and I think it's really smart and keeps the brand fresh, so so good for them. And I'm glad you at least still get that guy kind of up at the top of the can.
Yeah, you should get a picture of that kind of unwrapped can there to explain what we're talking about. We'll add that in the show notes. Cool. It's kind of a neat way to get around some of the hassles there are with getting your custom printed cans to still have something that looks pretty nice. So that's pretty cool. We've got it into... And actually, we talked about the shadowy guy, you and I, a couple of days ago, Keith. I don't miss Shadow Guy. I mean, he's still part of their logo. I get it. But I like the new thing.
I don't. I just thought they were always just clever enough. They always figured out some way to whatever they named the beer to turn that guy into some representation. I always sort of liked it. I mean, I think this is classier looking. Yeah. But in the same sense, I do kind of miss him. So.
All right. We've got this Archipelago. Poured into glasses. I'm not going to get shouted down by Mr. Pronunciation. What does it look like in glasses, Raymond?
Oh, it's exactly as advertised. It is a hazy IPA. It's got the, you know, the yellow tones to it that you would expect, and nice little lacing around the edge of the glass. But for the most part, it is a hazy yellow.
Aroma kind of mild for me, but I am getting that pineapple-y, mango-y kind of thing in there. That would you expect?
Yeah, definitely some grapefruit as well. Uh-huh. But I find it pretty fruity and juicy, as they say. I think the first sip was extra intense, and then it's kind of mild, gotten more mild with each one. But it definitely is a good smelling beer.
Yeah, yeah. I went ahead and took a little sip there. I'm just getting a lot there on that front first sip of the grapefruit and pineapple kind of mixed together. Really, a little pithy, you know, a little bitter. Mm-hmm. But it really is super, super juicy. So, which makes me think that New England-y thing may just be what they were going for.
I definitely get that. It's a lot of really tropical fruit flavors as opposed to like that orange juice, nectarine, tangerine kind of thing. Like I get. A little passion fruit notes, a little mango in there, melon, that kind of stuff. So it is all really that kind of tropical rainforesty kind of fruits going on in this. And the lactose is definitely clear in this. Yep. I don't know that I'd necessarily place it if they didn't tell me on this piece of paper, but it does feel creamier than your typical IPA. And I think I would have at least noted that it feels a little bit different than a typical IPA. I think it's becoming a little more common to drink beers with IPAs with lactose in them. So I think that maybe I would sort of pick that out, but you can tell it's in there.
I think that maybe what for me is keeping it from being like super crushable too, because it does change the mouthfeel. It does make it, I don't know if it's toothier around the edge that I'm trying to think of, but it's with just that fruit flavor. I think that I would be in danger of just killing these if it wasn't a little bit thicker. If it wasn't
like it's
a little
slightly more bitter than your typical New England or even milkshake IPA, there's definitely a little bitterness on the back end of this. It's pretty good. I gotta be honest. I'm kind of getting over very quickly the whole hazy, super juicy IPA thing. I mean they're good. And they're all kind of fine, but they just tend to... And I'm not saying that this is true of this one necessarily, but the complexity in them are really lacking. It's kind of, you know, kind of sweet and fruity and slightly bitter, done. You know, that's really all that's going on with them. And I don't know if it's the appearance that's really turning people on to them. I see a lot of people, and a lot of people that I know, like, you know, on Untappd and stuff, who drink a lot of beer, and they're just like... You know, it's like they're hunting them down and going nuts for them. And I'm like, I've been finding when I drink beers that are more of that West Coast style, which was never really something that I'm into. Now I'm finding those like a breath of fresh air. You know,
that's
like
so funny.
Yeah, I've had like I had something from Alpine. You know, a few weeks ago after drinking so many of these, because it seems like every IPA that's coming out is this uber juicy fruity, you know, juice bomb. And I was like, oh, pine.
Yeah,
resin.
Wow. How
odd. Oh, bitter. I'm like, how I've missed you. You know, so it has, you know, like, you know, Hop Slam has come out, and which has been which now in comparison to a lot of these things, it's like the fruit flavor in that seems like it's so much milder and the bitterness seems so much higher. Whereas back in the day, that was like this big pineapple fruit bomb, but it was so refreshing drinking some of that, you know, that it was like, oh, and thanks for the tip, by the way, because I had kind of missed out around town, and Lee was like, hey, I heard that the White Whale here in town still had some, so I was able to pick some up. But that, too, I was like, oh, wow, it's like some pine going on. This is, there's some bitterness. This is great. So, I don't know, I'll get off my soapbox, but I'm just kind of getting over this, and I wonder how far this is going to go, you know?
Well, you bring up some good points, because I do like this, and I think it maybe has a slightly different flavor profile than some other similar beers I've had than this, but it does make you think, well, if there was a little bit of like toasted cracker in this too, like, you know, how would that really just, you know, push this up and be a beer I was maybe a little bit more excited about?
Yeah, like the malt backbones of some of these IPAs, you know, are disappearing. It's just all fruit and juice. And hey, you know what? If it's selling and people are really liking it, I mean, go for it. I know we've been playing around with them at work, and it's not that I've literally enjoyed every single one that I've had, because that was part of what I was looking for in a more, you know, regular IPA back in the day. Yep. But now it's just become so uber intense, and I'm kind of just like, all right. I mean, even just a few weeks ago, I was, you know, like, I remember we were doing the podcast and we did that damn Yankee from Southern Barrel, is it?
Yeah.
And I mean, we were all just gushing over it. And I mean, I do remember really, really enjoying it. And now that it's been a couple of months later, I'm just sort of burnt out on every new IPA coming out tasting like that, you know?
That happens fast, I guess. But I do want to say that I do think this is really well made.
Oh, absolutely. I think that I am enjoying it.
Yeah, and I think it is really good. It is just maybe a little bit of a case of fatigue about this. If this would have been the first time we've had maybe that fruit combination or the lactose or you know, any piece of it, but I feel like there's a lot of it out there. But I do think there are things that make this different. One of them is the fact that it's the brewery itself, that it's Monday night. This is a brewery that... Yeah. Is really expanding, is really doing some interesting things in Atlanta. Do you guys know what their distribution setup is?
I don't know. I don't even know who distributes them. I want to say Southern Eagle is at least here in Georgia, which is one of the several kind of AB InBev sort of affiliated, you know, distributors. I don't know how far they distribute outside of the state, but I know that they are really doing a fantastic job. I mean, every time I go to the store, someone has one of their six packs in their cart, it seems, or are picking it up. I know that they're doing great in Atlanta. Went and visited the garage, their new facility, which is on the Beltline there in Atlanta. Big, fancy bar and area, and it looked like they had a lot of room in there, and place was busy. I mean, it was packed, and they're doing a lot of these kind of things that are popular. You know, they're changing up their lineup, and they're putting out these kind of little bit lighter, fruitier pale ales and IPAs, and people are really gobbling them up. And on top of that, they're really expanding their barrel age program. So they're kind of hitting it on both fronts, and kudos to them for that. They're doing a great job.
According to Sika Brew, I always forget about good old SikaBrew.com. Oh, Sika Brew, yeah. Good reference. Georgia and Alabama.
Is that it?
Okay. There we go. So that's who has full distribution there. And you mentioned the garage, their new facility on the Beltline, and they've also kind of delineated the beers that they are creating into a couple of different collections. Mm-hmm. There are the year-round and their seasonals, and then there is the Garage Series, which is some of these barrel-aged beers that they are working on there. We had the Situational Ethics show up here in Savannah recently. That's a trio of Imperial Stouts that have different conditioning and aging methodologies behind them. And then there is the Black Tie Series, and the Black Tie Series is Archipelago is a part of that.
Okay.
And so that's also where some of those kind of I'm trying to think of some of the like Bourbon Barrel Drafty Kilt was probably
And Gun Show. And there's been several, some that have been really, the Georgian Imperial Stout oh man, that thing was delicious. It was like a take on a Russian Imperial Stout, but it had Georgia stuff and ingredients or whatever involved. It was, I mean, they've done some really impressive beers in that. And those always used to come out in the 22-ounce bottles, you know, and they had the, I don't know, it was a kind of silver and black label, if I remember correctly. But yeah, there's been a bunch of really good beers in that series.
Yeah, definitely. So, Raymond, what are your final thoughts here on Archipelago?
Very much enjoying it. It's got a little bit of bitterness at the end that kind of gets to me, but I like the fruity flavors.
So that just kills me. It's an IPA. You know, it's like the concept, the idea
but
of
it's that pithy bitterness that's
Well, you're not the biggest IPA. You were not, you've been more into the IPA since they've sort of changed into this less bitter and fruity thing. Yeah, it's just like, it used to be, man, it wasn't that long ago where if it didn't blow your taste buds out, it wasn't worth drinking. And it's like how times have changed, man. You know?
When we aren't drinking great beer, we are running off those calories. Raymond, how's your running going?
Slowly, as usual. I'm getting it in when I can. But it's not consistent yet. And we've talked about this on a couple of shows. It's just hard getting back in and getting the flow going. And I'm not there yet, but I'm working that way.
Yeah, so with me, this past week has been really good in terms of actually getting out and doing it. So every weekday last week, I had 2 exercise blocks a day. So I'm really trying to get committed to dropping those pounds that have been hanging around for the last year and a half or so. So I'm just upping my my time exercising and then my changing what I eat up a little bit more, just trying to stay on the healthier side and more meals with fewer calories. So that's what I'm trying to do. And this last week was pretty good. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's the schedule just has to work for it. And last week was a good week. It all kind of fell into place. So I was able to do that. One thing that I've tried to do is be a little bit easier on myself when it comes to things like distance. I'm really concentrating on time with elevated heart rate more so than how far I'm going. So it's really, you know, if I stop and I walk for a little bit or I'm not running my sub 8-minute pace, you know, that's fine. As long as I'm doing it for a certain amount of time. And, you know, I wear a watch, you know, the fitness tracker with the heart rate and all that stuff. And I can look down and see when it starts to dip down. And then I start running again. If it gets down to where it's not in a fat burning range, you know, I start moving again to make sure I'm staying active. So because I don't really enjoy races, I never really have. I don't like that kind of being packed in with people. I'm not really claustrophobic, but I don't really enjoy that process. So I'm not super into what my pace is right now. And I just am much more concerned with making sure I'm getting out there and doing it. So that's been a really nice kind of a realization for me as I'm trying to get back into it a little bit to not have so much pressure. I did use on the Runkeeper app. I busted that out a couple times recently. And there are some nice workouts they have on there now for free that are sponsored by ASICS, which are pace workouts. And they're doing things like fartleks and, you know, kind of interval training. I did a couple of those just for kicks because that's kind of what I was doing anyway, just not as regimented. And it was good. It was nice to actually get out there for someone who hasn't been tracking their runs and a couple of years now, it was actually kind of nice to go back and have some of that motivation in your ear when you're doing that. What about your brewing, Raymond? You've got your studio all set up. It looks good. The drywall's up. The flooring's down. What are you missing?
I'm missing it's just kind of a raw space on the outside. So I'm looking to build some decking here in the next couple of weeks. And started a little bit on that, but that's what's going on.
All right, Raymond's brew deck coming soon.
The brew deck is the final piece, or is there anything? Yes. Okay.
Outside of general landscaping and stuff. We had bulldozers come through our backyard.
I don't think we
backyard.
Need some new baby pines before we can brew.
But you've got your water out there. You've got your power out there. You gonna do like run a gas line out there? You just gonna do propane, or what are you gonna do?
Do propane. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. You heard it here first. It's coming, you guys. We'll be ready. We'll be brewing anytime now. Just got to get that deck built. Give us a call. We'll come out and we'll watch you build it. It'll be fun. We'll drink some beers, sit around, maybe record a podcast episode while you're out there.
Oh, nice cut. That's a good cut there.
That'll be really nice. Yeah, as always, we want to hear about your running, your home brewing. Hit us up. Let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods.
And what about reading? There's a leisure time activity that will help you learn things you'd like to know about many subjects.
Raymond's Book Corner.
I feel like it's cheating when Raymond actually has a book in front of him. I'm asking him to come up with this.
Yeah, we actually see proof that it's real.
There's a real book. There are two books here, I think, at the last minute game time decision. It's time of the show where we go to Raymond's Book Corner to get recommendations on books that no one wants to read. So why not have Audible give you a free download of the audiobook and let someone else read it to you? That's right. Get a free 30-day trial from Audible. Or if you actually like to read, head over to brewdrinkrun.com, take a look in the episode show notes, and find a link to buy the book from Amazon. You get a nice little paper copy, and we get paid. Raymond, what do you have for us today?
Well, I have a book that I think you're going to have to take advantage of the latter way of procuring it. This is not one that I think would be very good if somebody read it to you, because it is a graphic novel. It is called Here, and it's by Richard McGuire. It's really, really gorgeous, kind of slow burn story here. It's all takes place in one room, and the room is in this old house, so it takes place over time. It starts in the 50s, and then every now and then it jumps back to like prehistory and when the house wasn't there. So you kind of see this environment, and you see the house being built, and the people who lived in it and died in it and had their stories developed in this one room. It's really quite lovely. It takes a while to kind of get into and get fully appreciate what's going on in it. But the guy who was who wrote it and designed it was an interior designer and graphic designer, and just put it all together. And it's really gorgeous.
All right, you gonna pick that one up?
I really would like to see someone just describe it to me, like Raymond describes the labels. So it would be like someone doing the words, and then Raymond would be like, so there's a lovely orange wall with a window. And it would be the same room, so it would be the same description over and over again. But you could really get the miles in with those descriptions.
It would never work out, because you've got the guy reading it, and Raymond's like, no, you said that wrong. Yep. You say it like this. Yeah.
That's true.
All right. So learn more about Here by Richard McGuire to get your own copy of it. Go to Amazon. Don't go to Audible. Forget that. Hey, we did have an Audible sign up this week. My wife did that finally after almost 200 episodes. There you go. Go to brewdrinkrun.com. Click on the show notes. Maybe I'll even put them in the show notes of this episode right there on your podcast player. Give it a check and see if it's there. Who knows? We'll be right back. Guys, we are back for our second tasting of the episode, and we're sticking with our Monday night theme, Keith.
Yeah, we're going to enjoy some Whirling Dervish Coffee Stout. This is a dry Irish stout brewed with locally roasted Whirling Dervish coffee beans from Batdorf and Bronson. I'm not really a big coffee nerd kind of guy, Maybe these guys are really big in Atlanta and or nationally. They did actually send a bag of this coffee in the box, so that was kind of cool, along with a sticker. So it's always nice to get little extras like that that are unexpected. So thanks for that. Comes in at 4.9% ABV, so really within that dry Irish stout specs. It's not just a, well, you know, which is always nice for that kind of low ABV, you know, enjoyment. And I think the rest of the, you know, the hops and the malts are to be expected for this kind of style. So there you have it.
And we have what I was describing before as being the kind of traditional or current phase Monday night can. Can you give us a description of that there, Raymond?
Yeah, so this is the more traditional branding, I guess, that they're using now. It's alternating ties, just neckties, so the long ones, not the bow ties, as it was on the Archipelago.
Alternating upside down and right side up, so going around the
so
can.
They kind of key in together. They fit together a little tightly. So there's a couple of them going around the label. And as Keith said, the artwork that is on the tie, so it looks like it's kind of a tie, relates back to the beer that is in the can. And so there are little coffee mugs and
A whirling lady.
A whirling lady, yes. Mm-hmm. So she is dancing. And as you might expect, the coloring here also is associated. So it's got, we've got the dark brown, or it got some browns and that sort of thing happening in the text.
So this is interesting to me in that the name of the beer is Whirling Dervish. Monday Night was their origin story was that it was guys who were in a kind of a church prayer group who would get together on Monday nights, and then they kind of evolved into them talking about beer and eventually forming their brewery. I think I've got those facts basically right. Does that sound right to you, Keith?
I feel like I've heard this story as well. Yeah, they were part of a Monday night, you like know, Bible group, study or men's group or something like that. Yeah.
And the Whirling Dervish, the kind of what that is, if I'm right on this, is that it's like a religious dance, like an Islamic, I think maybe in Turkey specifically, this kind of dance where they spin and they wear the outfits that kind of had the skirts in the bottom half that kind of spin around. Does that sound right? Or am I just completely, you're like leaving me, hanging me out to dry on this whole
thing. I don't know, he's talking about
Islam again.
I do not know where the Whirling Dervish comes from. I did know it was dance related, and that's all I knew is... I mean, I guess I knew it was dance related. I also thought it could be tornado related,
like one of those rides at like the carnival, like a Gigantron or whatever.
Right, yeah,
sounds like something that would be appropriated for something like that back in carnival days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with the phrase, but I'm not sure I know its origins. So,
all right, we've got it.
You're correct.
Stop.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. I will take
give
it.
Give or take. You know.
Yeah, give or take. Look, I'm not getting into specifics. Broadly speaking, I'm not getting into specifics. I mean, it's 800 years old. All right. Let's get back to the beer. We've got it poured out into glasses. It looks like you might expect an Irish stout to look.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Which would be dark.
Dark.
Not totally not opaque. Pitch, no. Yeah, you know.
Yeah,
but
it's got a little clarity to it that you wouldn't see in an Imperial or whatever. And then and really nice lacing on here. But it's dark. And I wonder how much of that's coming from the coffee as well.
The aroma is interesting to me. I think that I do get some of that coffee, but it's what I would call it a green coffee. Like it's not roasted. It's like it's kind of an herbal.
There's a lot going on in the aroma of this beer, which isn't just coffee, which is actually kind of nice. Yeah. I mean, if it was a big, huge, rich coffee aroma, I would be like, heck yeah, I like the big coffee stouts, you know. But there's a lot going on. There's little notes of kind of caramel. There's some nuttiness going on in this. Chocolate, definitely a lot of chocolate going on. It almost seems like a coffee chocolate bar at first, and then some of those other notes come out. But there's a pretty fairly complex aroma for a coffee dry Irish stout.
Yeah, I agree.
And yes, you're right. It is a more greenish kind of coffee rather than that roasty. Yeah.
Smoky. Mm-hmm.
Right.
The dry Irish stout, I will go ahead and say here at the outset, not a style I particularly love.
I kind of agree with you.
I tend to find them to be just a little less than exciting. Just, it's a mild, I kind of find myself asking, why am I having these calories right now when I'm drinking them? And that's not usually a great feeling to have while you're drinking a beer. But so far, I am interested in this coffee aroma and the other things that are going on. I'm going to sit back and take a sip, and you guys let me know your first thoughts.
I like it. There's some good flavor going on. I wish I was maybe getting some more of the complexity in the taste that I was getting in the aroma. Some of that's there, and it kind of comes towards the finish and aftertaste. Aftertaste has a little bit, and this is fairly typical for a dry Irish stout because they are on the dry end. It is rather dry. It has almost like a dry bitterness to it on the back end. It's not probably some amount of hopping, but it's good. I mean, for a 5% beer, I think there's a lot going on here. And for an Irish stout, I think it's fairly well done, and it seems fairly well to style, even with the extra coffee added, which wouldn't be, typical for the style.
Raymond, what about you?
I'd have to shadow what Keith just said. I do like, or have always liked dryish Irish stouts. Although as I've matured in my beer knowledge, I like the weight of an Imperial stout, but so it still has that. It's kind of it's on the thinner end of things, but it's very tasty. The coffee's really nice. I've always liked coffee and stouts, and
So I pulled up Keith's spreadsheet real quick just to see where he fell on the dry Irish stout piece here. There seem to be only five beers in the nearly 4,000 that are categorized that. Now, you mentioned dry Irish stouts a couple of times, maybe in an oyster stout or in something else. But the ones that seem to actually be classified as dry Irish stouts, five out of the nearly 4,000 beers.
I know two. Guinness would be one. I know the Bomb locally from Moon River. So that was another one that I've had, but I couldn't tell you any of the others. Again, like you said, this is not, like you were saying, this is not a style I gravitate to. I always think I want a sessionable stout, but again, and to, you know, say, reiterate what Raymond just said, is I ultimately, when I drink a stout, want something bigger, more flavorful, chewy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's necessarily true of every person who enjoys a stout. I think some people want to be able to buy a six pack of a stout and really drink several of them in a row without having to have that fillingness or the alcohol content to really kind of knock them out. So I do think they're doing a pretty good job of that with this beer.
And I will walk this back. So you have them under dry Irish stout and Irish dry stout.
Oh, well,
when you said Guinness,
yeah.
I was like, ooh, because I didn't see that one.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
we're up
I'm
to
sure.
About 13.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I've misspelled and miswritten a lot of things in that list.
But I was just really surprised because everyone in that first poll was a 3 out of 5.
Yeah, not my favorite.
And now I've gone through the others, and now we're getting the Guinness, so we're getting the lower scores in here too. We're getting some 2 out of 5s. We're getting some of those. But we also have a 4 out of 5, Moon River, here's Savannah. You like that one? You give that one a 4 out of 5.
I mean, there's probably some amount of local love there, but I mean, I really do.
And it won medals.
It won like gold. I think it won gold at the World Beer Cup or something like that. And I mean, I've had in different years. It's been, you know, if you're in the mood for it, I think, and it's, you know, they make a good stout.
North Coast Old 38. You give a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good.
A good beer.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever had that one.
You don't see that around that
much.
You don't even see that around. Even when you see it around, you don't see it. Like even when you see North Coast on the shelf, that one's not as common.
Yeah, but the Guinness can, the Guinness draft can, you gave a 1 out of 5. Not a fan.
No. And I mean, it's great. It's great when you're. I mean, I've had Guinness in
Ireland.
Well, I wasn't in Ireland. I was in Scotland, but it's close enough where you get the real deal, and it is exceptionally better. And I might have even made mention of that in the notes, or I don't know if I have different. I know that Guinness makes different beers, but when you're talking about the draft can with the widget, not a fan.
Yeah. All right, back
I think they're starting to brew. I think they're opening an American brewery, aren't they?
I think so. I think I've heard that too. Back to our beer at hand. What are your tasting notes here, fellas? Some of those things that were on the nose, are you getting in the flavor? And if you are, is it as intense as you thought it might be?
I'm going to say no and not really. Some of the things I'm getting, there's definitely a good bit of chocolate. And as it's warming up, there's some of those caramel, you know, notes and a little bit of a nuttiness is going on. But ultimately, the complexity I got on the nose, I'm not really getting in the taste. And I don't even feel like the coffee is particularly strong. Yeah. You know it's there, but it's almost in that borderline just roasted malt world, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you handed someone this and you didn't say there was coffee in it, they might just think it was a whole lot of really kind of roasted malt, kind of that little burnt character you get from some malts. So, again, it's not bad. I mean, it's come together really well. It's just not like it's crazy intense or anything.
I think it's pretty subtle, you know, overall. And I think that kind of fits with the style, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a style that doesn't have a lot of sharp corners. It really is just about sitting back and drinking the beer and enjoying the beer and what it presents to you. And I feel like this is obviously a more complicated version of a dry Irish stout. And I have to say that I do enjoy it more than the other dry Irish stouts that I can think of off the top of my head because of those additional flavors. The chocolate, the little bit of coffee. I feel like it's a really nice, well thought out, very thoughtful kind of a beer. Right?
Well, I really do appreciate the fact that if they were going to do a style of beer that is so pretty, I mean, we know what it's supposed to be, and to add these other elements, but not go over the top. I mean, they still kind of showed respect to the style itself without adding some extra things that are nice to it. So I do kind of appreciate the fact that they didn't go, here's a dry Irish stout, and there's no dry Irish stout to be found. You know, why call it that? Even if that's what you brewed, you can call it, you know, an American stout or whatever, if it doesn't really have those characteristics. And it does still have the characteristics of a dry Irish stout.
All right. Well, let's get another opinion. It's time for Beer Review Theater.
It's time for Beer Review Theater.
Beer Review Theater is the time where we go to the real experts out there, the internet, and find out what we should be saying about this beer, but obviously didn't. Today's Beer Review Theater comes from Beer Advocate. This is Chain Gang Guy. Chain Gang Guy. Okay. I reviewed this a couple weeks ago. There are not many reviews for this out at all. This is a new beer.
Pretty sure, yeah.
The earliest review, there are only, three or four here on Beer Advocate for this beer. And the earliest one was January 27th, 2018. We're currently recording this on February the 11th, so only a couple weeks between the first appearance and now. We don't have a lot of data to go by there, but it is currently rocking an average of 3.64 out of 5 on Beer Advocate. This is Chain Gang Guy. This is a 24-ounce can, of course. We mentioned that. He picked this up at Charlie's Beer and Wine in Marietta. There's a little bit of a rant about their dating. Did you notice that on the can about the dates? Is yours on the bottom?
It is off to the side. It says Best Buy 2006 or 18. So yeah, it's not centered. It's not where it's supposed to be. So
yeah, that's what his comment was too. Is that apparently, I don't know, according to this reviewer, that's like the new thing. Is that on the other can the same way, off to the side?
Yeah, it's off to the side, and it says.
Yeah, so he basically was just complaining that this is their new thing, is that it's off to the side, and sometimes you can read it, sometimes you can't. His says Best Buy something one something 2018, and so he thinks he'll be fine because it just came out. But a short shelf life on this beer. They're wanting you to drink it fresh. They're not putting a canned on date. They're putting a Best Buy date, which, you know, to each their own.
Appearance. Pours a very dark brown body with a foamy, frothy, tanned head. Moderate amount of lacing. Smell. Toasted coffee beans. Roasted barley malt. Or is it the other way around? Touches of darkish, unsweetened chocolate and light, fruity esters. Ester. Taste. Bounces in between being roasty, but not quite. And toasty, but not quite. Riding that fine line where you're not sure which is dark grain roastiness or roastiness gleaned from the inclusion of coffee. Minimal sweetness throughout. Light hop flavor contribution, a bit earthy, though any bitterness seems more likely a bestowment of either the toasty, roasty grains or the roasty, toasty coffee. Just a tiny, tiny bit of chocolate and a dark fruitiness works its way on in the back half. Roasty, toasty finish with some lingering coffee, non-sweet chocolate. Mouthfeel, medium light body, medium light carbonation. Overall, pretty good. 4 out of 5. That's 4 all the way across. 4 look, 4 smell, 4 taste, 4 feel, 4 overall. Here you go. Chain Gang Guy.
Sounds like the sun had really made his voice very leathery.
Well, and I made him a little southern. You know, he's getting Monday night. He's in Georgia or Alabama. He's not someplace else. Made him a little old west too, because I scanned through that. I kept saying that roasty toasty business, and it sounded like something a cowboy would say.
Yeah, all right.
Roasty toasty toasty roasty.
Going for what's his name? Palance from
Jack Palance.
Jack Palance from City Slickers.
So, by the way, Ray Morales. Palance is Jack Palance. All right. So he obviously tasted some more stuff in that than I did. But it's nice. It's nice to read somebody else's take and kind of listen to how them dig through some of the different elements that are here. I don't think anything's completely out of left field, though. I feel like he just maybe is more attuned to some of those things or maybe looking a little bit harder or found them in ways that we haven't.
I mean, if you're sitting down and pouring a beer and you're really, I mean, trust me, I know, if you start to really peel away the skins of that onion and sort of get into the different things that are going on. And, you know, when we sit in here drinking these, you know, if we were both, all three of us had 12-ounce cans of this and actually took an hour to drink it and continue to talk about it, we would find some different, more complex flavors, because that's all we'd be doing is just drinking beer for an hour. You start to tune in. For the more casual consumption, casual drink, there's a lot to like about what's going on with this beer, even if it's not the uber intensity that maybe some of the nerdier stout drinkers have come to expect.
Final thoughts on Whirling Dervish Raymond.
I'm enjoying this quite a bit. It's not anything, you know, big and over the top, but it's very tasty and has all of the qualities that I'd look for in a good, certainly an Irish stout. I'd pick this up.
I would too. I would totally get this again.
Both of these beers. Yeah. I think these are two really good beers to have for company guests. You have a party. It gives two distinctly different options of beers people might like without really. I mean, at 7%, I guess the IPA is a little bit high, but you're not going to totally you know kill your guests with them. So I think they're both good. They're both very good beers.
And I think that the big takeaway here is both two new beers from Monday night, and I feel like both really high quality, really well crafted for beers that are new beers that haven't had a lot of time to work out the kinks. And there's not a lot of experience with them from the general populace, and definitely with myself. So I'm walking away very impressed with these two beers and what they're doing, because honestly, with my saturation on those juicy IPAs, much like yours, Keith, and then my general kind of malaise over the Irish dry stout, I'm totally pleased with both of these beers. I think they're both really good examples of the style and really worth checking out. For more about us and Brew Drink Run, go to brewdrinkrun.com. Follow us on Twitter at Brew Drink Run, on Facebook at Brew Drink Run, and Instagram at Brew Drink Run, or wherever at Brew Drink Runs can be found. Plus, we're all on Untappd. If you want to be a part of the show, email us. It's team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running, your favorite place to grab a beer. Call us at 781-76-DRINK, 781-763-7465. Don't forget, come see us March 3rd, 6 p.m., Service Brewing in Savannah, Georgia. We'd love to see you. Meet you in person. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available at our website. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. See you at the bar. Cheers.
Cheers.
Nailing this, folks.
Yeah, only took... I mean, really, it only took 190 some odd episodes to just get perfect.